they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this out for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me. And when this beat drop, I know they gon' lean. World debut, I know they gon' fiend. Everything Mississippi to the Palm Springs. Girls from brunettes down to blonde queens. These young boys don't know what a don mean. I'm just a bad boy gone clean. I'm the diamond chain choker. Always remain sober. Don't drink liquor and all the game's over.
7654321.
Welcome to Sports Hour. You're listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp.
It's been 4 months since the last episode of Sports Hour, and today we welcome you back inside WNYO Studios. Hello, everybody. It's Aaron Valentino once again back for another year of WNYO Sports Hour, and I'm joined, as always, with my good friend and co-host, roommate, editor-in-chief of the Oswegonian, utility sports talent associate, Brandon Ladd. Brandon, we're back.
We are back. It's very exciting. You can add executive supervisor of WNYO to the title as well.
Yes. So today, you know, we still technically don't have access to the studio.
No.
Like, technically,
we broke in.
Trespassing. Well, I don't know if broken is the right term. You don't have access to the Gonian, which you were thinking of breaking into earlier. But,
yes,
you know, we're a little afraid that UP is going to be on us sooner rather than later. Yeah, so today, our wonderful new GM here, Abby Conley, did get here early. She didn't have access to the studio. She made Campus Life open it for her. And pretty much throughout the day, I was here for 3 hours trying to figure out the phone box, which we're going to need on September 1st. So I was trying to figure out that. I was in here for 3 hours figuring that out. Me and Abby had a meeting of our own that we needed to discuss. But there was nobody going to be in here from 1:30 to 2:45. Abby and I both had class. So you were in here, and apparently you were like the mayor. Like, a couple of people came in and talked to you.
Everybody came in. I had 14 people come in during the time I was sitting here.
And listen, that's a good thing. Yes. We need involvement here at WNYO.
14 confused freshmen thinking I'm the GM, though.
Yeah, no. You're not the GM. You are the editor-in-chief this year of the Oswegonian. Congratulations about that. I know
Thank you. Talked
about that when it officially happened. It's going to be an exciting year at the Gonian.
It is.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be a lot of fun. And in all the media orgs, we're so excited to be back. And one of the things that Brandon and I talked about a lot last year was, you know, you'd come onto campus every day, you know, sometimes not even every day, but when you would come on campus and you'd walk through MCC and you'd walk outside, there was no life.
Nope.
There was nobody. Like, there was nothing going on. There was a few people here and there, but nobody was in MCC. And especially, like, this is like prime hour of MCC, from like,
yes,
12 to 3 o'clock. It's normally packed inside the Murano Campus Center, and no one's here. Today, there was life. There was people walking around. Everybody had masks, of course.
Yes.
We're still
for
being
a month.
Safe. Yep, for at least a month.
Yes.
I got a feeling it's gonna be the entire semester, but we'll get into that as we get closer. But, you know, to have life back on campus, and, you know, remember when we used to pull up to the commuter lot last year? No cars.
Nope.
There would be nobody. I parked in the back of the commuter lot today. Is how packed it was.
And the employees are back. I parked in the employee lot, probably have a nice ticket when I go out today,
right. Yeah.
But I had to park all the way by the lake.
Yeah.
I've never seen that lot was not full at all last year. I used to park right next to the handicap spots.
Yep, we used to get prime spots in the lot right next to MCC every single time. That's not going to be the case this year. It just feels crazy to be back. And it was a crazy summer for both of us. But before we even get into that, Brandon, we are officially, I don't know if you like really realize this, we did win an award. We won the outstanding up, and we're already getting our first caller.
Hey, Jake.
Let's see who's calling in. Hello, you're on the air with Aaron Valentino and Brandon Ladd.
Fellas, it's the one and only Pat O'Chang.
Pat, how are you? Our recent graduated web editor, Patrick O'Chang, joining the show. Pat, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I had to tune into the first show. This is the first show of the year, like NYO in general?
I think so,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at you guys. I know. I think Shooting the Breeze last year was the first one, too. And we were in there illegally as well.
Yes.
yes. But, yeah. I just came to call. I didn't mean to hijack your beginning monologue here, but I just came to call and say how you guys doing.
Yeah, no.
Happy you guys are back.
Oh, Pat, we're so happy to be back. And we do miss all of you up here, all the people that did graduate our lovely radio station here.
Yes, I also have some beef with Brandon Ladd.
Okay. So we're getting that started early.
Did I just hear four things, Pat?
Yeah, not really, but okay. I just want to know why you asked for Mike's blessing and not mine.
Oh.
It was the Pat and Mike experience, not the Mike, you know, like, I'm just, you
he's,
know.
Pat, he's sitting here absolutely stunned by that question.
But, Pat, I you'd be cool know. With it. Murano's the diva.
I remember when I lost my Twitter back in, God knows, when was that, April?
Yes.
Yeah, and I got it back. And Ladd unfollowed me on my other Twitter. On my Twitter that I still my OG one has not followed me back yet.
I saw that last night. I felt so bad because I thought you were done for on that one, and now I'm just 5 months late.
This guy.
Yeah, he's missed all your quality Ladd. Tweets, Pat.
Yeah, he's just been missing. And you know, I didn't even get any interaction from him when I gave him my blessing without him asking. Without him asking for it anyway.
Well, Pat, you gave us two blessings this week. One, you gave Ladd the rebranding of the Pat and Mike experience, which are we getting an announcement on that today? Or
Not today.
I've heard who
tomorrow.
The co-host is, and I also approve.
You can't – don't say who the co – I also do
no,
know
I
who
haven't,
the
I
co-host
haven't,
is.
No, Mike's only told me, and that's it.
Yes. I think only five people know who the co-host – actually, Jake definitely knows also.
I thought it was good. Never mind.
but you gave – Ladd the permission to rebrand your show, but you also made me the official leader of Team Pat, which I'm very excited about for this upcoming
year.
Well,
Aaron, you probably be the end anyway, but you are the only member of Team Pat that's remaining. I'm pretty sure. So
Ladd wasn't
it
Team
was
Pat.
Kind of just like I don't know. Ladd's flaky, man. He doesn't follow me on Twitter. I don't know.
You definitely couldn't give it to him. You definitely couldn't give it to him. Pat, any final words before we let you go here?
Just have a good year, fellas. I'll be back in October 15th. Mark it down. I'll be there. I'll be in Oswego.
All right. Sounds good. Can't wait to see you, Pat. Always good to hear from Pat O'Chang. Hopefully we hear from a couple of those guys this year. Mike Murano, also graduating. Jen Rabilato, our GM, who I did speak to for a couple minutes. Our former GM did speak to her today. But before Pat called in, the day we both got home.
Yes.
We received an email from the New York State Broadcasting Association that we won Outstanding College Radio Show in all of New York. So technically, what that means is, and you know, not to brag or you know gloat or anything like that, but technically, according to the New York State Broadcasting Association, this is the best college radio show in the entire state of New York.
In the entire state, we're going for the national award this year. Mark it down. That's my Rex Ryan statement of the
year.
We're winning the Super Bowl this year. We went 4-10 last year. But, yeah, it was exciting. That made it so cool because I remember we were so sad when we went home because we weren't sure what our internships were going to be, what our jobs were going to be, blah, blah, blah. And we get that email, and it's like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we get to go to a luncheon. I've never been to a luncheon
before.
Yeah,
I've never been to a luncheon in my life either. Zach Case will also be joining us. He, he's going to drift away from the WNYO studio this year. But he did win Outstanding Social Media Personality as well, so congratulations to him. He'll actually be joining you at the Oswegonian this year. Is it multimedia editor or director?
Editor.
So is he going to have like a portion in the paper? Or no, it's just the podcast.
Just the podcast.
So Zach Case, will be joining us at the luncheon, but he will be moving over to the Oswegonian this year, which is, very exciting. So that was an exciting way to start the summer.
It was.
But Brandon, one thing I do want to talk about today is, are we like the way we spent our summers? Are we absolutely insane? And like, I thought I was crazy. You might even be crazier. What time did you have to go into Walmart every single day?
Seven.
You went to Walmart from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah, loved working overtime. They could not get me out of that place.
And then would go do Glens Falls Dragons games.
Yes.
As well. They were really good this year, weren't they?
7-42.
Oh, yeah. The absolute primetime what is it? I always mess it up. The P, what league? The PGCBL.
Yes, you got it.
Yes, the PGCBL league. Yeah, they performed really well. Jake Johnson joined you over there as well for a few games. But I was in a similar boat. I got a job at Friendly's this summer.
Yes.
I didn't go back to Cliffs. They, you know, it was a brutal contract negotiation that didn't work out. They didn't let me back at my old job. So I worked at Friendly's this summer, and I would wake up at like 10, which is a reasonable hour. I would wake up at 10, go work the day shift at Friendly's, get back by like 3:30, 4, shower, eat, and then go to the Sussex County Minor Stadium. Yes. With which they're a minor league team in the Independent Frontier League,
yep.
Who is an official partner with Major League Baseball this year. And I would go there from about 5 till about 10 or 11 at night. Are we crazy?
And oh, like, we it really might be didn't crazy. End.
My last day of my internship was 6 days ago.
Yeah.
Like, I wrapped up the internship, took one day in between to like pack up all my stuff and, you know, say goodbye to my family. And then Friday, I came up here. And today, the grind officially starts. I've been on campus since 11 a.m. this morning.
I feel like a horrible person here because the Walmart people think I've been at school since August 9th.
I left Friendly's August 6th to go on vacation that first week of August. So, you know, you live and you learn. What did you do in your 2 weeks off?
Just chilled, went fishing a ton, played a ton of golf. It rained 13 of 14 days. It's been that type of year in upstate New York. Oh,
it's definitely been that it's been that type of year everywhere. It's either been dead hot or raining the entire summer.
Can you give me the jingle?
The jingle? Oh, yeah. Yeah, hold on. The breaking news one, right?
Yes.
All right, is this still up? Up, and it's back. Breaking news from Brandon Ladd.
It is 85 degrees out right now. I was hoping for that jingle.
There we go. What's the weather report, Brandon?
So it is 85 degrees out right now. Sunny. If you walk more than 30 feet, you will be sweating.
Oh, yeah. It was it was hot yesterday, too. Like, dangerously, like, hot outside yesterday. Like, I couldn't even believe how hot it was. But so we do have a couple stories here about what happened over the summer. Todd Frazier played the Toms River legend, played for the Sussex County Miners for a few days this year. I got to talk to him not very long. He gave me a high five,
nice.
which was pretty cool. He went 6-for-21 in the 6 games that he played. Now, when he signed, everybody freaked out, obviously.
Yes.
He's the biggest player to come through Skyline Stadium since actually Coco Crisp in the really early 2000s. But he's an all-star. He's a, you know, 2015 Home Run Derby champ. And I thought he was going to be there like every day, like every home game.
Yeah.
He was going to be there. He was there for like 4 games.
Yeah.
And he went 6-for-21 and won the silver medal in the Olympics this year. That was the reason that he came. And you know, that got the Boomers out to Skyline Stadium in Augusta, New Jersey. They showed up, and it put, you know, to put it in a nicer way, it put butts in seats,
if you know
what I'm talking about.
Great PR move.
But, yeah, I had a great summer. You just want to shout out Brian Hoffman and Alec Bello for a great opportunity this summer. Spent pretty much every day watching live minor league baseball, which was great. It was a good experience for me. But I am super excited to be behind the mic. What was one of your favorite parts of interning for the Glens Falls Dragons this year?
So, being able to do it with my friends. So, it was nice being able to hang out with Jake and Ben Kinney all summer. We were in the small 6x6 space, and we had 3 seats, and it was just all about baseball. One of us would PA. I don't know if that was the most professional approach to have the announcers also PA on the broadcast.
You got to do what you got to do in these college and minor league baseball leagues.
You do. So we got that out of the way. That was a ton of fun. One of my favorite moments all summer, though, there was a standoff. Have you ever seen a pitcher standoff where people will stand in both bullpens opposite of each other and you can't sit down? They just stare at each other
during the
national
anthem, right? Like the national anthem will end and they stand off?
Yes.
Yes.
They went for 3 hours and 45 minutes.
They stood there while the game was going on.
Our dude put the mascot hat on.
No way.
It kept going. Ben Kinney's like, oh, let me get my iPhone 4. So next thing you know, he's doing a side reporting job down there. And my favorite moment all summer, he's reporting on the standoff, all serious reporting. And next thing you know, a osprey goes over with a goldfish in its mouth. And the camera just flips upside down because Ben lost all interest on the game and was on the osprey.
That's great. That's a great. Listen, ospreys are definitely an interesting bird. We are back. We're going to be back full time. I think we're going to have more people in the studio, so maybe we'll actually be able to get some live guests on the show. We'll definitely have some guest hosts throughout the semester. You and I are very busy people, and I want to try and not cancel the show as much as we can. We do want to get everybody involved. But we look to bring you full coverage of all Laker sports starting on September 1st. We're extremely excited for that. September 1st is a jam-packed day. We're going to have two games over on Stream 2. We're going to have a women's soccer game, a men's soccer game. And then at 7 o'clock, we are going to get a game on Stream 1. There is a volleyball game that day. I don't know what game is going to be what yet. We have a meeting on Friday to discuss what we're going to do. But, you know, I have the big, as you know, Brandon, I have the big whiteboard up in my room that says all the days we have sports. And we're jam-packed. Like, they're loading us up in September. And then, of course, hockey is going to be back in MCC for the first time since March of 2020, I think. Or maybe February. Maybe February of 2020. I would have to go back and look at, like, what officially happened there. So that's, you know, super exciting as well. It's going to be a brand new roster. Like, you're going to look. Like, I feel like, you know, every year we look at the roster and you're like, yep, but you know the majority of the guys, and you'll learn, you know, the few. By my count, and there may even be more, I think there's going to be 18 new players this year on the Oswego men's hockey team.
Because you remember our sophomore year, it was like, oh, yeah, 14 of these 15 people were here last year.
Yes.
And they would just keep rotating them. It was pretty easy, and you had all these stats and analytics of them playing together on the same lines. This year it's going to be fresh.
Yeah, it's going to be very fresh. We're going to have a fresh crew, too, which is going to be interesting. I think we'll all be a part of it like we were 2 years ago. But, you know, we've got some new kids on the block. Joey Palatsky, he's going to be back full-time on WNYO. Jake Johnson will be back. Liam Gonimer, he was gone for about 3 years. He's back. And then, you know, our youngster, Jared Wakefield, he's going to be doing a lot of stuff on the website for us this year. So that's going to be really exciting. You've got an exciting year at Degonian. WTOP is back in their studio. Laker Connections will be back, which we'll be, you know, producing and hosting this year. I'm sure you're very, very excited to get a full semester in studio of the three of us, because we've never had that.
No, we have not.
We've had the show since sophomore year, and we technically have not done a semester in studio with just the three of us, which is pretty crazy to think about.
It is crazy to think about. And we can admit now, it got pretty janky when we were doing it on Zoom. So I'm excited for it.
Oh, yeah, just very excited to be back in the studio all together. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go over when we last left off. Where were we in May? And where have the New York sports teams gone throughout the last couple of months? Don't go anywhere. It's the debut of the award-winning WNYO Sports Hour. And it'll be back right after this. Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Now, I'm going to let this play out a little bit longer because, you know, this was a big debate on our show last year, one of the final weeks. We became Olivia Rodrigo's stance with her two songs, Driver's License, of course, which is like the biggest song ever, and then Deja Vu, which was the other song that she released. But she didn't come out with the whole album.
No.
Until after we left, and her, you know, best song in my eyes is this one in Good For You. And it is, let me tell you, that song is fire.
It is fire.
It gets you hype every single time. I don't understand it. And she's everywhere now. She's huge.
And I mean, it's only going to get bigger. She hasn't had her first concert yet, right?
No.
Yep.
No.
We will be there.
We'll be there in the front row. But that's the thing about it that's so crazy. It's like, she was huge when we, when we left. And like 2 weeks later, she got even bigger. And then High School, the musical, the series came out. Season 2 of that came out. So that even like grew it even more. This girl just graduated high school in May. Like just finished high school, just got her high school degree. And like now, like who knows what she's going to do next.
And some people, the actors, blah, blah, actresses, they'll sneak into this business and they'll release a few songs. And you'll know they're single because of their name. She put out bangers.
No. That Driver's License, it's her first song she ever wrote, first song she ever released, and it's the most streamed song in the history of the internet. Think about that. In the entire history of the internet, this 17-year-old girl came out with a song that's more popular to stream in the online era than any other song.
No, she was
is mind-blowing.
She was putting bangers out.
No, and just continues to do so. The whole album. I haven't listened to the whole album, but everybody says it's absolutely incredible.
It is. I remember Benny Thatcher texting me, acting like he was forced to listen to it, but he texts me and goes, I've listened to this whole album 3 times. This is amazing.
Yeah, no. it has something for everyone, it seems like. Maybe I got to do that. I got to really listen to the entire album. I know my sister and a couple of my coworkers and friendlies were like, no, you have to listen to the whole thing. It's that good. It's actually not even in the thing. What is the thing? The WNYO wide orbit. It's not in our system. There you go. So we had to play it over YouTube, which was kind of sad. But Sky Hosford, I already put her on it. She'll get there eventually. She picked up a whole giant thing of CDs today that she has to go through. So she's got her work cut out for her.
Yes,
as well.
She does.
But good for you. I mean, it's got to be in there sooner rather than later, I would hope. All right, Brandon, let's get into this. When we last left off, we're going to start with the two baseball teams. We're going to start with the New York Mets. And basically, we're going to go through what happened over the last couple of months while we were away, while we weren't able to talk about sports, while we witnessed it but weren't able to talk about it. And when we left, the New York Mets seemed like they were going to enter a dark place. They had 17 people on the injured list. Jhenasree Farges and Khalil Lee were getting everyday at-bats for them. They had a couple of upcoming series against the Atlanta Braves. It didn't look like they were going to win those games. And May has been their best month of the year so far. They went, 17-9 in the month of May or something ridiculous like that. And if I'm being honest, once everybody got back from the injured list, it all went downhill from there.
It did. It's been a fall from grace, and it's been two components here. Braves have kind of turned it on. Now
they've won 9 in a row.
Yes, they have, and now they're a 68-56 win team. That's good enough to win a division. Only issue, though, the Mets are 2-8 in their last 10 games. That's made them fall way off. 7 games back, you don't want to say it's over, but Fanatics right now, 5% chance to make the playoffs. But this was a team that was leading the division
for the entire year.
Yes.
The pretty much the entire year. And they just can't hit. I mean,
no.
It's just, and then, you know, once they kept not hitting, you know, Jacob DeGrom gets injured. David Peterson and Joey Lucchese are out for the season as well. They never got Noah Syndergaard back. They were throwing out Jared Eichhoff a lot, which is, you know, never a good thing. And the pitching kept them afloat for as long as they could, and they kind of ran into a gauntlet of the Dodgers and Giants last couple weeks that, you know, we're going to get into a little bit later about why, I don't think they're making the playoffs. I'm going to put that out there right now. I don't think the New York Mets are making the playoffs. But, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that, like, they're dead in the water, and we'll get into why a little bit later. But they haven't hit. They haven't hit all year, and they didn't hit all summer either.
No,
while we were gone.
And I want to raise this point. Marcus Stroman might be the greatest 9-12 pitcher of all time right now.
Well, Jacob DeGrom was, you know, what did he go in 2018? He was under 500 as well.
Yes.
2019 as well for Jacob DeGrom. Marcus Stroman in games that he doesn't go 7 innings, the Mets are like 1-9. Like, he has to pitch perfectly in order for them to win, and he's been great all season.
He has DeGrom's worst season, 2018, the 1.70 ERA, 10-9.
Yeah, 10-9.
It's
unbelievable.
It's Stroman now at 9-12. It seems like he's the new DeGrom.
Yeah, well, not exactly to that level. And that's another thing we actually were talking about before we left. Like, you know, Marcus Stroman isn't going to come back. He almost has to now. Noah Syndergaard hasn't pitched all year. Stroman has just been a godsend for this team in terms of innings and not letting up runs. He has to come back, and I'm sure we'll get into all that in October and November when we're talking about the offseason. New York Yankees, when we last left them off, they were, you know, starting to heat up, and in June and July, they were bad. I think everybody could admit that. But, you know, we kept saying, and everybody kept yelling this, like, we're really worried about the New York Yankees. Like, we're that worried about them? Like, and even if, like, the players on their roster are bad now, you don't think they're going to do something at the deadline that's going to do it? And they did. They brought in two power-hitting Italians, in Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo, and the team is magically fixed. And if I'm being honest with the way they're playing right now, they could go to the World Series.
And what did your grandpa say, Aaron? Joey from the Bronx?
Joey from the Bronx.
yes,
from my cousin Vinny.
And it's made a big difference that Gallo and Rizzo have joined this team. Luke Voit's come back. It's been much better. Luis Severino might come back at some point. I don't think it's even going to matter. That might decide how far they go into the playoffs. But right now, it doesn't matter. But Aaron, can we just say they were at 500 when we left? They are quietly now 20 games over 500. I think there's only five teams in the majors that can say that right now.
The Yankees have won 9 in a row. They're 72-52. They're 2.5 games up on Boston, who has fallen off a cliff, yes, just like the New York Mets have. And they're 4.5 back at this division. Let me tell you something right now. I don't know how many more games they have against the Rays, but that's ground that they can make up. 4.5 games, 5 weeks left to go in the season. That's a race in my eyes.
It is a race, and it's not just for the division. It's for the best record in the league.
Yeah. Is it actually?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. If they were in the Central, the Yankees would be leading. The White Sox are currently 72-53. And then over in the West, the Astros are 73-51. Yes. So, yeah, the Yankees are actually competing for the best team in the league, the Rays, every year. I don't know how they do it.
No.
They get rid of Blake Snell,
we'll
and
see.
They
yeah,
miss a beat.
And we'll see how they do in the playoffs this year. But you know, the regular season, they're getting 100 wins.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair to say that they're going to get 100 wins. The Yankees could get 100 wins, too.
They could. And I was doing the math when they were sputtering about a month ago. I'm like, oh, can they inch their way to 89 wins try to sneak in here? And now they're looking at 100.
Yeah, they're going to be perfectly fine. To get to 90 wins, they got to win 18 more games.
Yes.
They have to go 18-20 to get to 90 wins. Think about that.
Yeah.
And where they were in the middle of July and August. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible what they've been able to do. And without Gerrit Cole, mind you. He's out for a month with COVID-19 issues.
He was. And now he's come back. He's pitched okay. He hasn't even been his dominant self. But this new pitcher, Heal, his name's spelled G-I-L, but Heal's come in. I don't think he's given up a run yet in his career. He's had 3-4 great starts, and they've gotten good stuff from Montgomery throughout the year, and it just seems like a rotating door. And Talion, or how do we say his
Tyon.
Name? Tyon.
Yeah, he's been great the last couple of starts.
He's been great. His last 3 months has really been back to the best pitching of his career.
Yeah, which is exactly what the Yankees thought when they traded for him. We'll get into more of the Mets and Yankees a little bit later. Let's focus on the Knicks and the Nets. When we last left off, these two teams were heading into the playoffs with a full steam ahead. We were talking about how the Knicks were going to beat the Hawks in the first round and possibly sneak into the Eastern Conference Finals. The Nets were going to run away with the East, and neither of those playoff series. The Nets did win the first round, of course. They were the 2 seed after all. But neither of the playoff series, first round for the Knicks, didn't go well. Trae Young ate them alive.
He did.
And for Brooklyn, I mean, Giannis was too much for a one-legged James Harden and no Kyrie Irving.
Can we go back to that first round, though? It's one of the most exciting aesthetics you'll ever see in the history of sports, because the former governor of the state, he announced that there could be full crowds again at basketball games in New York City. So you had a raucous Nets and Celtics series. Celtics never had a chance. Jason Tatum put 70 up a game, but it still didn't matter. And then the Knicks, it was awesome to see Spike Lee and Tracy Morgan dancing in the aisles again.
I know. And everything, they would get a rebound, and the Garden would fall down. Like, it was one of the most insane vibes I've ever seen at a basketball game in my entire life.
Yeah. Everyone was just excited to be back, and then Trae Young just cooked them.
Trae Young ate him alive. And listen, the Hawks, to their credit, and obviously Trae Young deserves a ton of credit. He, you know, he really put the team on his back there. But to give the Hawks team in general credit, they found the key to success. Stop Julius Randle, and you'll stop the New York Knicks. And that's exactly what they did, and that's exactly what happened.
They rode that in round two as well. They get past the Sixers, then lose to the Bucks.
Yep. Yes, they stopped Embiid, and they stopped the Sixers, which is just how it's going to go, it seems like. Yeah. The Bucks did it. They finally were able to win an NBA Finals, which is
crazy.
Know, which is absolutely crazy. I never thought we'd get there. Never.
You agree with me, there's an asterisk next to it. I think if Irving and Harden do not get injured, that's a better series.
But that's like anything in the history of sports. If you know, certain teams had certain players, then it you know, I think things would be a
lot
different.
But do the Nets have an excuse this year?
I mean, I always give the injury excuse, but then again, my teams are always injured, so so maybe that's why I say that. But you know, to not have two top 10 players at the in the NBA, you know, playing where they're supposed to be playing, that's tough to overcome.
It is.
You know, no matter what sport.
And
like
Durant,
if the Bucks didn't have Tom Brady, where would they be?
Yes, exactly. And Durant still almost overcame it.
Yes, and he still did. I think we just kind of realized, to transition to the Nets here, you know, Kevin Durant really still is, in my eyes, a lot of people think he's the best, and it's really hard to argue with it at this point. But he really is a top one, two, or three player. LeBron, Giannis, him, yes. Whatever order you put him in, fine. But he really is a top three player in the NBA still, after everything he went through.
And we missed that for a couple of years, because there was a time when he was going against LeBron. That year we played for the Warriors, won that NBA championship.
He won two in
He
Golden
did
State.
Win two. That first one, though, when he was going against LeBron, it was like, okay, this is Kevin Durant's coming out party. And then we got to go through it all again this past year.
Yeah. And people forgot. Like, when he hit that shot to send it overtime, like, nobody thought they were losing. Like, who was going to stop Kevin Durant at that point? And he absolutely ran out of gas.
Yes.
James Harden is hopping on one foot down the court.
Yep.
He could not do anything at all. There's not a lot you could do. I think the Nets are fully intending on winning the NBA Finals this year. They got two more years of this experiment left with Harden, Irving, and Durant. They were able to retain a couple of key pieces this year. Bruce Brown, who was probably one of the biggest keys to their success this year. They brought back Blake Griffin as well, which was a huge piece for them. He played very well for them down the stretch. So I think they fully intend on winning the NBA Finals this year, as long as they can stay healthy.
They do, and I got to imagine they're going to be the favorite if they can stay healthy. But still, we have the Bucks. We have the Sixers.
Yeah, you can't count out the Bucks. The Sixers, I think unless the Sixers like win it this year, like, are they ever going to win?
No, but we were saying that about the Bucks.
That's true.
And then you got the Lakers and Clippers and Suns, I guess.
Yeah, the Lakers acquiring Russell Westbrook to make a big three. I don't know how that's going to work with LeBron, because neither of them can shoot. and Anthony Davis, while he can shoot probably a little bit better than those two, like,
he shouldn't be shooting.
Yeah, I don't know if he should be shooting the amount of three-pointers that I think he probably should be taking with LeBron and Russell Westbrook on that team. But the Knicks, getting back to them and their offseason, we talked about the Nets offseason, they get Kemba Walker into the Garden. And you remember the last time he stepped into that Garden playing a game where he was pretty much the on home court. Cardiac Kemba.
Yes.
He's back in New York. And he's ready to help Julius Randle lead this team to maybe a playoff series win.
It's going to be interesting. He's got to overcome the injuries. It's another Celtics point guard kind of going into exodus, just leaving Boston. It's
unfortunate.
It is, because with Kyrie, it hurt a bit more. But with Kemba, it's like, okay.
You really thought he was going to be something, and
it didn't happen because of the injuries. He wasn't the player he was in Charlotte. He tried his best, but it didn't work out. Now it's Jason Tatum's team, but he goes to the Knicks.
It was always Jason Tatum's team. It was always Jason Tatum's team.
He goes to the Knicks now, though, and I think he can be helpful.
No, I absolutely think he can be helpful as well. That's, there's going to be no more arguing of who should start: Derrick Rose, Emmanuel Quickly, or Elfrid Payton. Kemba Walker is the starting point guard on the New York Knicks going into next year, which I think is good. I think it'll be good for Quickly to take on a bench role. They did bring back D. Rose, which was super helpful. He played well for them, so should be another exciting year for the Knicks. It kind of feels like, they're not going to win the NBA Finals, but it feels like they're heading in a good direction. And if RJ Barrett can become the player they expect him to come, the Knicks can really, the sky's the limit for them.
It is. And they're right in a position that the Celtics were in for a couple of years, the Hawks were in for a couple of years. You're sputtering 4-5, 4-5. Then you get some big acquisitions, and you go right up to the top.
Yeah.
So
Leon Rose,
we'll see if
Tom
it can happen.
Trying to make it happen. No. And finally, the last big thing of news, the Jets and the Giants. Carl Lawson's out for the year. It's unfortunate, but, what are you going to do?
Whatever.
Giants, Dan Jones is back. Joe Judge is back. Saquon's coming back, which is actually huge.
People are really down on him, though, which I'm shocked.
I think Saquon is the best running back in the NFL. That's not true. Second best. I think Christian McCaffrey deserves that title. But the Bills, they make the biggest news of all out of all the New York football teams. They signed Josh Allen to a 6-7 year, 200-something million, something ridiculously million-dollar extension. They did it. After all these years, they got their guy, and he's looking to lead them to the promised land. He made the AFC Championship. Unfortunately, he ran into that guy named Patrick Mahomes, who's going to be in that AFC Championship for the next 10 years. But Josh Allen is going to do everything in his power to try and take down the mighty Kansas City Chiefs this year.
He is, and they weren't that far off last year. Their defense could hang in for a bit. It was just they need to take one more step, be a little bit more dominant, and they need to get the run game going. But with Allen at quarterback and a more balanced
team. And Stephon Diggs coming back.
Yes. It's going to be pretty close this year. I'm sure the Chiefs got better, but we'll see what the Bills, how much better they got. So it's going to be interesting. But this team, it's bringing excitement back to Buffalo. I drove past, we were near Rochester yesterday, and we were driving by in this barn, middle of nowhere. Whole side of it just says, you got to believe.
Yeah, yeah. It's listen, they're going to run away with the division again. There's no doubt in my mind. The Jets and Dolphins, you know, they're not there yet. I mean, Bill Belichick never count him out, but I don't think Cam is the answer.
No.
I don't think Mac Jones in year one. In year two, three, four, 15, look Mac Jones is going to be the answer, but not in year one of Mac Jones and Bill Belichick. The Bills, I mean, you know, they did right by their city, and they did right by their quarterback, their first quarterback in God knows how long, and he's here to stay. It went better than, you know, some of the other draft picks made by teams in the AFC. Sam Darnold obviously getting traded away. That was before we left, so we don't have to go over that. But, yeah, they're going to run away with the division again, and they're going to be in the playoffs. And honestly, I didn't think they were going to make the AFC Championship last year, and they did. Who says, you know, they're not going to be back there again?
Yeah, and I mean, it really depends. Do you get lucky? Do the Chiefs have a key injury? Does their offensive line still stink? That's something that they could maybe overcome the Chiefs. I do want to say this to you, though. Dolphins were only a game two behind the Bills last year. It's over for the Dolphins, right? The Bills are just worlds ahead.
I think they're worlds ahead as well. This is like the first football season I'm not like absolutely amped up for in so long. We'll get into that another time about why that is. I'm sure you're amped up for Dak to be back, but I just...
It only takes 5 wins.
You know, I'm not getting up in the morning exciting to watch, you know, Zach Wilson throw to, you know, Corey Davis and all them. And I'll explain why that is another time. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show talking about the New York Mets and the New York Yankees and their matchups this week and tonight. We'll wrap up the award-winning Sports Hour debut right after this. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. I wanted to play Levitating, but we didn't have that, so I had to go with my number two song. It's really number one in my heart, but in Super Lonely, it's a year and a half. What is it? A year and a half later,
yep.
And this is still like my favorite song ever.
There it is.
It's just like...
See how long it goes.
No, we'll fade it out now. It's just such a... It's such a vibe. You know?
Yeah. No, I meant in your life. We'll see how long it goes.
Oh, well, it'll be there for a while. It'll definitely be there for a while. It's just so catchy. But Levitating by Dua Lipa, and good for you.
Can I do a quick song note from last night?
Yeah. Oh, I think we're getting a phone call. We're getting a phone call. I think I know exactly who it is. I assume this is Jake Johnson, but I can't be 100% sure.
What's up, guys?
Hey Jake,
Johnson,
how are
you? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
This is definitely not your first time calling into the
show.
You
call us daily.
So I'm just calling because Lad told me I had to debate him and Aaron. So Lad is doing a fantasy draft.
Yes.
And he drafts Dak Prescott.
Yes, I did hear about
this. With his 5th overall pick.
Yes.
Is that not, insanity?
So for a little bit more context, I don't know if this makes it better or worse. I'll give everybody a little bit more context. It's not a, if I'm correct about this, Lad, it's not a regular standard fantasy. It's a dynasty league, correct?
It is, but in my mind, that makes no difference.
And I always said this, and everybody yells at me, if I had my first pick in a dynasty league, which I've never been a part of.
Yeah.
But if I had the first pick in a dynasty league, I would go with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I don't know why people don't.
Yeah, I mean, I would. He gets you 30 points a game. He's, you know, your quarterback for the next God knows how many years you're going to be doing this dynasty league. I would pick Patrick Mahomes. Now, that being said, I don't think I would have picked Dak Prescott. And what exactly is your thought process there?
I don't know. I just, there's $1,000 on the line. There's a lot
of money. It was a $100 buy-in?
Yeah, $100 buy-in, $1,000 on the line. And
that's what makes it even crazier. He's drafting Dak Prescott.
Oh, who am I going to pick? Wait till the second round, get screwed over, end up with...
Was everybody taking quarterbacks?
No, nobody took... I took second quarterback. Patrick Mahomes went first, second, or third. I can't remember.
You take Josh Allen.
Josh Allen would have been good. Russell Wilson.
Do we remember Dak's numbers? He was on track to throw like 6,000 yards last year.
And Jake, I will say, that is actually true. He was on pace to throw like 6,000 yards.
And then his ankle snapped like a...
Well, it didn't snap. That thing exploded. It wasn't a cramp, Tony Romo.
He's going to be a backup quarterback next year.
Okay. And now the fake news starts.
I don't think the $96 million signing bonus man is going to be a backup quarterback next year, Jake.
His shoulder's not even in the right spot right now.
Yeah, that is true. How is his shoulder doing?
The man can't throw a football.
He's been throwing a lot of wiffle balls. They're working him back.
Yeah, they're slowly but surely working.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad that he's going to be a wiffle ball pitcher.
Jake, are the Giants, is Daniel Jones the franchise quarterback this year? Is that what we're going to find out?
Oh, we're going to find it out if he is that. Do I think he is? As a Giants fan, no. No,
really?
I don't think he is.
Oh, really? I'm actually kind of surprised you're saying that.
I mean, as much as I want him to be, yeah. I want him to be our franchise quarterback because I don't want to be one of those teams like the New York Jets or that, like a revolving door quarterback team where I just need to get a new one every year. I want a solid quarterback. So he has the weapons. He has the offensive line. That defense is top 10, could be top 5 by the end of the season. And he has everything in front of him.
We'll see. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting year for sure. It's going to be an interesting year for sure.
Healthy Saquon Barkley.
Jake's just ready to go on an entire day here.
Yeah. The last thing I want to say is you guys haven't even touched about the Syracuse Mets game that we attended.
Yes. And actually, we're going to go over that right now. Jake, any final words before we let you go?
No, guys. I'm sure I'll be on.
Yeah, you'll be on at some point.
Also, I don't know who the co-host is for this new experience, so if it's me, I'm going to be blown away. But
Jake
does
not know.
Oh, I thought you did know. All right, you're in for a surprise. When is this getting announced?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. Jake, always good to hear from you, man.
Can't wait to call in tomorrow, then.
Yeah, all right. See you then.
With either displeasure or love.
All right, we'll see you then, Jake. We'll see you then. Jake Johnson, he'll be on the show in person eventually, which is exciting because we've had him on a lot of times via Zoom, but not in person yet, which is going to be good. We did go to a Syracuse Mets game on Saturday. Jake and I won 4 free tickets each. So we went to the game for free. Parking was $5. The only thing we had to buy was, you know, food and beverages. And they won. They're not a good team because, you know, they keep having to bring guys up and down constantly this year with all the Mets injuries. So they're in last place. But they've won 9 of their last 10, and they won when we went. David Thompson and somebody else, 2 other people hit home runs while we were there. I can't remember. But they got the win in a one-hit shot. Yep.
Wilfred hit one.
Yes, Wilfredo Tovar. Yes. Hit one. It was a lot of fun. Josh Reddick yelled some derogatory terms Jake's way because him, Michael Gross, and Kevin were yelling at Josh Reddick the entire game. Josh Reddick, obviously a member of the, 2017 Houston Astros and their trash can banging. So
Josh Reddick didn't put two and two together. They're obviously Gross and Jake.
Yes.
Understood it a little bit better than me, but I'm just like, oh, cool, former big leaguers playing, and they are in a screaming match with him in the 7th inning.
Yes, and that, you know, it happens.
It does.
It does happen. Getting back to the actual New York Mets, they're falling fast here. The New York Mets, they've lost 15 of their last 21 games, I think it is, or it's probably even worse than that if I'm being completely honest with you. They've fallen to 2 games under 500. They did get the win yesterday against the Dodgers. They're 61-63. They're 7 games back of the Atlanta Braves, who have won 9 in a row. They've won 2 of their last 10 games. The Mets are also 7 games back of the Cincinnati Reds for the second wild card spot. So I don't think they're making the playoffs. And it's kind of surprising because they were in first all year. And this is what happens when you lose 15 of your last 20 or 2 of your last, like, go even like shorter term amount of time. They've won 2 of their last 10 games. And the Braves have won 9 in a row. That's what happens when you lose that many games in consecutive time. And the other team gets as hot as they are.
Think of it this way. They got the hardest portion of the schedule. Who knew that the Giants would be the hardest team to play this year? And they get 4 consecutive series against the Giants and Dodgers.
The 2 best teams in baseball.
And they're not even out of it yet. They still got 3 more in Queens against San Francisco. Only thing, they got to flip a switch because then they get four series against the easiest teams to play.
And this is what we're going to get into. And again, I want to stress to everybody listening, I do not think that the Mets are making the playoffs. I do not. Seven games is a lot to overcome in 5 weeks. The Braves are playing better than they ever have before this season. And also, they got to get over the Phillies, who are kind of backsliding a little bit, but they're playing better than the New York Mets currently. Here is the deal, though. The New York Mets still have hope. Once they get out of this series against the San Francisco Giants, which, again, it is going to be rough, and they could lose, you know,
three,
maybe even three more games of the division. And once you get to 10, I mean, that's impossible. But then their next, I think it's 15 games, three against the Nationals, four against Miami, five against the Nationals, and three against Miami. And this schedule goes from August 27th till September 9th. The Braves, they go three against the Yankees, or two against the Yankees, two against the Yankees, three against the Giants, three against the Dodgers, and then they face the Rockies, Nationals, and Marlins to wrap up the season. So the Mets could make up that ground in the, let's see, I got to count officially here, and my computer's going all over the place, in the 2-5-8, in the eight games that the Braves are playing those tough teams, and the Mets have 15 against, you know, two of the washiest, not only teams in the division, but in all of baseball. I mean, if you can figure out a way to go on a run, I know Francisco Lindor, he's going to be back sometime, hopefully this week. Jacob DeGrom can come back September 13th. I think the goal for Noah Syndergaard is September 4th. Reinforcements can come. You just have to be alive when they get there. And I just don't know if they're going to be alive is the big question.
That's a great way to put it. Great analogy. You have to be alive when they get there. And I don't know. They could get through this stretch. I think it's going to take a miraculous. You got to go 13-2 these 15 games, or they got 14 games. You got to go 12-2.
Yeah, they need to go on a run.
They do. Like 10-4 isn't going to cut it. Like, it's got to be 12-2. But I just have faith in the Braves to sputter to 4-4. I just don't think they're going to go 1-7 in these eight games.
Yeah, I know. I think the Braves are going to survive. And the crazy thing is, they're doing this all without Soroka, without Acuna, without the pitcher who I can't believe I forget his name, the pitcher that punched the dugout and broke his hand.
My Lord.
Yeah, I know. I can't think. For the life of me, I cannot think of his name.
Jake's going to text us.
Yeah, Jake will text us soon, I'm sure. But he was their best pitcher, arguably. He's going to be coming back soon. He's going to be coming back hopefully soon. But they've done it without those three core players. They traded for a whole new outfield on July 30th. I mean, it's crazy what the Braves have done these last couple weeks.
It is, and they just keep getting better. It's like you said, when the Mets were at their lowest point, they scrapped it together in May and looked like there was a lot of hope. Sometimes guys step up, you have some injuries, and things fall in the right way. It's a weird way to think about it. Yankees had happened to them the past two, three seasons. It went that way for them. So I don't know. The Braves just, I just don't think they're going to go back from
here. Oscar Ynoa. That was it. That, I'm not saying that right, but
and he's pitching tonight.
Yeah. Oh, he's pitching. Oh, he's been back for two games. There you go. He's been back for 2 weeks, which I actually didn't know. But still, they're doing it without Acuna and Soroka, which is huge. Like, how? And once Acuna went down, I think a lot of people said, that's it. Like, that's the season right there. you know, you don't have a top five player in the game anymore. But look what happened. The Mets lost Francisco Lindor, and it, you know, they haven't really recovered since they lost him.
No, they haven't recovered. And I mean,
he wasn't even hitting.
No, he wasn't. And I mean, this pitching staff, it hasn't, it's not what it was.
Walker's not pitching as well as he was.
McGill.
You know, McGill has been okay. He's been up and down. But Rich Hill, while he's better than TBA, don't get me wrong, he's, you know, five innings guy, and he's going to let up three or four runs every time. It's really been Marcus Stroman who's been carrying a big load on this team. Cookie, who came back. Carlos Carrasco, the other acquisition in the Lindor trade. He's got an ERA, I think, close to eight right now. He's been bad.
Yep.
So, again, you know, hopefully, you hope that Syndergaard and DeGrom can come back and maybe they'll be in a race, but you just don't know at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, getting into September, if it gets closer, we'll talk about how the schedule turns hard again, but we got to go through this 14-game stretch and see what they have.
Well, we got to get through the next three games. They don't play today. Yankees and Braves start tonight.
They do.
One of the rare times I'll be actively rooting for the New York Yankees to win over these next two games. It'll be interesting to see for sure. And speaking of the New York Yankees, they're exactly what I thought they were going to be. This is exactly what I thought. I thought they'd be leading the division. I didn't think the Rays or Red Sox were going to be this good. I thought the Rays would be okay. Didn't think the Red Sox would be this good. But going into April, if you would have told me the Yankees are 20 games over 500 when we got back to school for our senior year, I would have been like, yeah, that makes sense. And that's exactly where they are.
Yeah. And I mean, it just took some extra time this year. And I think we got so down on the Yankees. We didn't personally because we understood what was happening. But a lot of people got so down on the Yankees because they've been front runners the past 4 years. I'll be honest, I would not be watching August baseball in a normal Yankees season right now because they're 14 games up.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting. And tonight you got Montgomery against Yano. And we'll see what happens there. Montgomery's been solid, but the Yankees, I don't think anything is going to stop them. I do want to see them against the Rays again, though.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. And Yankees, you know, arguably the two hottest teams. Actually, they've both won 9 in a row, correct?
Yes.
I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So somebody's winning streak is on the line tonight. The Yankees won 9 in a row. The Braves have won 9 in a row. So, yeah, that's going to be a really fun two games to see. A possible... you know, I don't want to say World Series. I don't think the Braves are going to beat the Giants, Dodgers, or even Padres for that matter. But, you know, it'll be exciting to see two possible division winners going up against each other, maybe a possible World Series matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun week for the Yankees after this two games against the Braves. They got a day off and then four against Oakland. Oakland's right behind the Yankees. Yankees have been playing better, so we'll see.
And I remember when they, you know, at the deadline, when they traded for Rizzo and Gallo, people are like, we need pitching. The Yankees always need hitting. They always have hit. They're always looking to hit. And they add two power-hitting Italians. They keep Luke Voit as a bench player. And they just start to win. It's just how the Yankees have always been.
And I find it funny. What is the Yankees' best recipe the past few years?
Hitting
just put up 9 runs on you, and it doesn't matter how our pitchers do. And that's how they're going into the postseason.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple of months. I was really excited to get back to school and cover both of these teams, talk about both of these teams making a playoff run, and we're only going to talk about the Yankees once again instead of the New York Mets, which is very disappointing. But the Yankees, they're looking to make the playoffs, and they're looking to make a bigger run than they did last year. Brandon, that does it for our first show of the year. Our first show is the New York State Broadcasting Association Award winner. We're going to be back Monday through Thursday this year, not doing Fridays again, but we're Monday through Thursday this year at 3 o'clock. And I'm really just so excited to be back. I know you're excited as well.
I'm psyched.
Make sure you come to the WNYO. I don't know why I'm saying that. Make sure you come to the involvement fair in general.
Yes.
You could see multiple clubs. If you want to join Ultimate Frisbee, I mean, you know, they're going to be there. Frats, sororities are going to be there. But of course, the three media organizations in WTOP 10, the Oswegonian, and of course, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network, we'll all be there. Lad will be there from 10 to 3. At Tagonian.
Well, 9 to 3. Coffee for everyone.
Coffee and donuts are on Lad on Wednesday. And then Friday, we're going to have the general interest meeting for WNYO. That's going to be at 7 o'clock. And the Gonian meeting, that's at 6,
at 6.
On Friday.
Yeah, and they'll get more information at the fair. I think that's the way it works.
Yes, more information will be out by Wednesday. I actually don't even know TOP's general interest meeting date.
I think it's Thursday.
Yeah, it is going to be Thursday. I don't know what time, but I don't think they've like made that official yet. That's probably.
And they don't need our advertising. They get the most people to come anyway.
They're the biggest club on campus.
Yes. So let them worry about themselves.
If you're listening by chance and you're a sophomore or freshman who didn't, you know, join last year, please join the organizations. We're going to need a lot of help this year. We're looking to make a strong front. Lad, that is going to do it for... Oh, I played the intro instead of the outro. That's really unfortunate. Now they're both playing at the same time. There we go. That's the first day back in a couple months. Got to remember how these new hotkeys work in this new system. That's going to do it for us today. Can I say have a great rest of your quarantine day anymore?
Not anymore. That's not correct.
I'll have to find a new catchphrase. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow, 3 o'clock.